conversation about was your first point on this list, which I think is a really important contribution, and you, I think, kind of hammered the point home, but I'm gonna talk about it a little bit more. But that I think, especially for those of us on the left, and maybe more generally in academia, prison labor is very simply and easily equated with unfree labor, mm-hmm. is therefore bad and something to be opposed. And I think, you know, it's easier to understand why the people arguing for the panacea of prison labor, prison administrators and politicians, mm-hmm. have their maybe wrong. And I think on that point, what's so great about your work is that in nuancing this position, you look to the opinions of the people doing the work to see what they think. And I think these people could be dismissed as like simply having false consciousness or not really understanding their own situation. But I think you would disagree with that reading of things, and so would I. And I think an interesting case of this is like the prison rebels at Attica in 1971, who were held up as, you know, the most radical and militant prisoners. Among their demands listed was for the prison administration to allow industry into prison and create jobs, right? People don't talk about that demand very much when talking about what those folks wanted. And I think all of this really raises the bigger question of what is the point of prison labor, which is, I think, what you point to is that this is a political question, and it's a much more important question than whether prison labor is good or bad. And so is the point of prison labor rehabilitation? Is it the imposition of, I think, what you referred to as kind of like some sort of neoliberal work discipline, some sort of like ideological construct? Is it cost savings? Or in some cases, is it profit making? And that if we start to look at those questions, then it's easier to look at, well, what's the point of a particular prison program, like the fire camps or the prison farms? So I guess what I would turn to you with is, you mentioned that we don't pay much attention to prisons and prisoners per se, although in the last few years, you know, like these examples have come up, the prison farms, and then since then we've seen the hunger strike in Georgia and the 2013 Corcan strike in Canada, and then, as some people in the room probably know, like a very recent and possibly ongoing strike in U.S. mm-hmm. prisons, very much about prison labor. And so I'm wondering if you have any thoughts on why that's the case, or if this says anything to those last questions that you have there. That's all I got. Maybe if you want to respond to that, and then we can do some, bring everybody else in.
Sure, great. Thank you, Jordan. So I certainly don't have the answers to those and want to hear from people in the room. I think, certainly we're on the same page in terms of looking at the question of not, looking beyond this question of good or not, and sort of seeing where that takes us, and instead to ask, who is it serving? How is it useful? How is it being understood? What is the point of prison labor, I think is really helpful. Yeah, it's tricky, the last point. I mean, I think what you're describing, and I agree, is a way in which the practice of putting prisoners to work has always been contested, right, in the political scene. So, and maybe even especially recently. Certainly all of, you're right, the surprising, I mean, even though I said it was medium-sized, right, you know, given a couple hundred prisoners worked on farms in Canada. That news story came out right when I moved here from California in 2010, and I thought, what? You know, like, how is this? It was national news, and I thought, that's either amazing, and I moved to Utopia, or something really strange is going on. Maybe the answer was both, but I mean, it was really jarring to see that kind of and degree of attention from so many people. And similarly, right, the way in which the strikes in the U.S. and Canada have gotten, in fact, media attention. So I think, you know, I guess then maybe one possibility is we see those things getting attention, we see prisoners, we hear from them in particular constrained ways. Then, you know, another way to understand the sort of inattention question is whether the people advocating on either side of any of those debates, how long and how deep their commitment to prisoners is. And maybe that's a false expectation, right? Why would they? You know, but I think we see this even in the hunger strikes and the efforts around solitary confinement. I think that that becomes, for the sort of left, a way of arguing against a sort of penal state, broadly understood, and that... in fact, just like you mentioned with Attica, that some of that one of the calls was for more industry. You know, again, I don't know, think we should be expecting more, but it's noteworthy that in I'm more familiar with the U.S. ones, but in the U.S. strikes over segregation, the demands are remarkably and sort of depressingly narrow, mm-hmm. right? They want access to particular forms of food or 20 extra minutes outside the cell. And so that, again, we can understand that given prisoners' position. But I think that the way in which the media covers them, and I would say actually in, maybe similarly in Canada, including the Office of the Correctional Investigator, the way we see concern over segregation of mentally ill prisoners is such that we pay a lot of attention to an important but a tip of the iceberg, and that once that's addressed, there's sort of a comfort around the broader practice. And so, but I think in that sense, you're right that it's really layered. I think, yeah, in terms of whether we're seeing a shift, good question. I mean, I don't know yet.
Should we open it up?
Sure, sounds good.
So... maybe we could take like a...